Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from North or South, or from the East or West? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, oh glory, faint the breeze.
Today is the birthday of the U.S. Navy sailor who's illegally been in prison in the California penal system since 1996. And his whole teenage years, the service that he could have given the country, he was trained to be an aircraft mechanic on the USS Carl Vinson. Because of the homosexual agendas and fraud, corruption, intimidation in the California court system, he got railroaded into prison to protect a homosexual predator who was an illegal alien and who had preyed on other young sailors and Marines here in San Francisco. The only reason that Juan Piferre got away with it is because he was a long time political contributor and supporter, illegally of course, because he was an illegal alien, the supporter of the district attorney, Terrence Hellman, who has his own problems with corruption. Among the interesting things about the Wiener scandal, we have our own Wiener scandal here in San Francisco. It's a little different, although there is a sexual aspect to it. Scott Wiener is a lawyer from, I think, Pennsylvania or New Jersey, one of those who came out to San Francisco to tell us how things should be done. Anyway, he went to work for the city attorney's office, and then, questionably, because his salary may have been paid in part by federal funds, which would bar him from running for a public office where he would oversee the same federal funds that he was paid, and he's not the only one. Anyway, that comes under the Hatch Act. Anyway, Scott Wiener was connected to CUEB, a bogus lesbian-dominated so-called civil rights group, which intimidated defendants who were accused of hate crime and also tampered with juries. This is all irrefutably documented. Anyway, Wiener got elected to our city council, board of supervisors is what we call them in California. And just before the Congressman Wiener scandal, I don't know if these two guys are related. They have the same name. And both are, I believe, to be of Jewish heritage background. I won't get into the circumcision bit. Anyway, Wiener decided that he's part of this radical left gay agenda and political machine, we call it crotch politics, They don't like, Haney and others do not like certain propositions that the citizens, the voters, vote for. So he wants to permit the city council, the San Francisco City Council, to either rewrite, amend, alter, or reject voters' majority pass propositions. You know, this is circumventing the rule by majority vote of the citizenry. So this is another, we expect this type of thing would happen in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia or Mao's Communist China or North Korea, but not in San Francisco. Anyway, that's our Wiener scandal, and it's bad enough. Congressman Wiener will eventually, his thing will get sorted out one way or the other. He'll get forced out of office by the voters of Queens in New York. So we'll leave that as it should be, and there are others who can have a handle on it, no pun intended. Today's the birthday of Stephen Neri. He's sitting in a California prison, which has cost, in the 16 years that he has been illegally in prison, has cost the American taxpayer an estimated $15 million. How do we arrive at that figure? $10 million of that figure went to construct a supposed AIDS project here in San Francisco, named after the sexual predator who had AIDS and who was a cocaine freak and supporter of terrorism against American soldiers and San Francisco police, the Juan Piferre case. Also, Juan Piferre was a scion of family that was connected to the Bank de Provincia of Buenos Aires, a bank which has been identified, it's the oldest bank in Argentina. It's been identified as holding assets put there, deposited there by Martin Bormann, who was Adolf Hitler's right-hand man. A lot of Nazis after World War II, those who didn't get captured or apprehended by the Allies, who escaped justice at Nuremberg or in Poland or in Russia, there were trials there too. They fled through a thing called the Rat Line through Naples, took passage on a ship and arrived in Argentina. Some of them fanned out into Bolivia, Paraguay, which was run by Stroessner, whose family emigrated from Bavaria a couple of generations before him. He was a longtime dictator, Alfredo Stroessner. Paraguay, others went to Chile, Brazil, and of course Mengele, who earlier this week we noted the commemoration of his drowning off a beach in Rio de Janeiro, and was identified by DNA provided by his family, which still owns the factories that make farm equipment in Bavaria. So Steve Neri, it's his birthday today. He's, I believe, 34, and he was tried illegally. A lot of false evidence, fraudulent documents were used, and since been covered up, although we have gotten copies. His mail from the U.S. Navy, sent by certified return receipt mail, was signed for and then destroyed. His habeas corpus was denied him illegally in the state courts and in the federal courts. He was accused of hate crime against Juan P. Frey, and the U.S. Navy and the Marine Corps put on trial as homosexual, as anti-homosexual, and hate crime and all that other garbage. But this is the way things are right now. It may change with the scandal with Wiener, and people begin to realize and get tired of these sexual misconduct escapades by these politicians. And I think Wiener voted for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and maybe he took it to heart. Another thing about the Steve Neri case, Bill O'Reilly, whose father was supposedly in the U.S. Navy, brought up the Chemsart case in New Jersey. Chemsart was a Black Panther woman who killed a New Jersey policeman. She was tried legally. There was jurisdiction and subject matter jurisdiction over her, and she was tried in a New Jersey case and convicted. After her conviction, she filed a removal of the case to federal court. Federal court remanded the case, rejected it, because in order to do a removal of a state court case, there has to be one thing missing, either subject matter jurisdiction or jurisdiction over the person. So they and also a removal has to be filed in a federal court before a jury is impaneled. She did all this after the jury was not only impaneled, but the jury had handed down a conviction. Now, in the Steve Neary case, it's the opposite of this. He removed his case to the proper jurisdiction of the Ninth Circuit Court. It was ignored by Judge Kevin Ryan, who himself may be an illegal alien, and of the prosecutor, a guy named Farrell, and Terrence Hallinan, the District Attorney of San Francisco. Neary's case was never remanded back to the state court because the state court never had jurisdiction over him. The U.S. Navy Secretary never granted permission, was never asked for his permission. The governor of California, two governors of California, didn't even know about this case. The state attorney general didn't know about this case. The whole thing was a kangaroo court case, one of several here in San Francisco, and it eventually is going to cost the American taxpayer millions of dollars. Already, we've had the Tennyson case where a black youth was illegally sent to prison. They had subject matter jurisdiction and jurisdiction over the person, but it was a fraudulent case, and after 16 years, he was freed and received a couple of $1 million compensation, but he'll never get those years back. Neither will Steve Neary, but we're not going to give up. He has a former deputy assistant U.S. attorney who was working on the violate the denial of parole, although that is really not the issue, but that's what he's doing, and the whole issue gets back to the fact that local civil authorities, states, do not have jurisdiction over federal military personnel and National Guard when federalized. There's a special due process procedure. A serviceman can be arrested and detained by local cops, but he cannot be tried until that proper permission and due process is honored. This did not happen in Steve Neary's case. And we have a circumcision case coming up. We did do a series on circumcision, the unkindest cut of all. And since it's the city of Santa Monica, California, has rejected a ballot issue to ban circumcision in Santa Monica, and we don't know if that foreskin agenda case will be put on the San Francisco ballot for this November's election. So we'll keep you posted on that, and no jokes on that one. Among the birthdays today, great Civil War Admiral, Admiral David Porter. He is one of two admirals, Porter in the American Civil War. And the other admiral was David Farragut, who incidentally was half Spanish. He was born in the Mallorca, and then the family immigrated apparently to the United States, and he became famous admiral, and his motto was at the Battle of Mobile, Alabama, the Confederates shot torpedoes at the Union Navy ships. He said, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead." And that's been the motto of several of these fast-cruising, damn the torpedoes admirals, like Admiral Arleigh Burke, who was known as, I think, 36 Knot Burke. He was born today. Thomas Paine died today, Common Sense. He died in 1809. I think he died in poverty, but his work is still represented today. Excuse me. I still have this bloody cold. Also today was the birthday of Franklin Lloyd Wright. The last thing, if you ever go to Chicago and around the University of Chicago, there's the Roby House. It's a really modern piece of architecture. It looks very suburban. But if you come to Northern California, go up to San Rafael and look at the Civic Center up there. It blends right into the hills. And of course, there are pictures on the web. But it's the last major architectural piece that he did. Excuse me. So if you're traveling this year and if the gas prices go down, I would recommend that you go up that way in Northern California, especially if you're going on to our wine country. Among the other events today, the Attila the Hun invaded Italy, and it hasn't been the same since. We have, I'll see what else happened. Here's another Canadian contribution to the world. The washing machine was invented in Quebec on this day. The vacuum cleaner was patented on this day, June 8th. We had Kurt Waldheim, who was an accused ex-Nazi. He was also, elected head of the UN, or selected. And it didn't go down well with people who knew about his background. He was also elected Chancellor of Austria. And, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was born in 1948, his father was an alleged Nazi minor functionary. My German friends used to say, and of course my family on my stepmother's side is Jewish, German-Jewish, remarked that we Germans were Nazis, the Austrians still are. Also today's birthday of Robert Preston, those of you who remember the great film and his great voice, Music Man, and also the little redhead in that movie was... He became a famous director. he escapes me. But anyway, if you've seen The Music Man, the music was by Meredith Wilson. It was about Iowa. That's the only good thing I can say about Iowa. I'm tired of hearing about these caucuses. Incidentally, here's a thought for you. When I wrote my book on the presidents, every modern presidential candidate from the state of Minnesota, starting with Harold Stassen, every one of them have lost either the general election or were not selected by their party to be the standard bearer elected president of the United States. So, and then, of course, in the show Fiorello, one of the songs is nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell. How many people can spell Pawlenty? And also, Pawlenty's got a fiscal controversy. He left a $5 billion deficit. So if he's selected as vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket, I don't think it'll be Tea Party. That's going to come up. $5 billion, as Senator Everett Dirksen used to say, a million here, a million there, you're talking about real money. So we have that. That's going to be very interesting. And, of course, Romney is a Mormon, and this guy Huntsman is also a Mormon who apparently is uninformed about visitation rights and delegating authority to act for patients who are in the hospital. That he said that he's embraced the agenda that, quote, people, or gays in particular, can't go and visit their loved ones or their partners or whatever, or cannot make life and death decisions for them. That's not true. And stop and think about it. With all the lawsuits, did you know that John Edwards, the former senator and accused of using campaign money to hush up his mistress, he made his money by suing hospitals in malpractice suits. But think of this. With all these malpractice suits and the cost of them and the cost of lawyers and the cost of these judgments, do you think that the hospital administration is going to admit a patient and not protect themselves when it comes to making life and death decisions, and also to allow loved ones and friends to visit the patient while he's in the hospital, as long as they're not coming in carrying their vectors of communicable disease? Now, at some of the hospitals, because of the spread of flu and all these other ailments that are going around, they ban adults who are not family from going entering the children's wards, because children are so susceptible to these various viruses. So hospitals can and should do that, and that way they stay out of litigation, at least on that issue. The other event today is, or this is going on in another legal case, the case of this guy Strauss Kahn, the accused rapist of this black hotel maid. A lot of people don't know this, but I believe it's the Israelis who discovered a way to manipulate DNA to extract somebody's DNA out of a sample and inject somebody else's. This is what I'm hearing from my security source friends, Phyllis Cole. But we're hearing from our our intelligence people that, and others in the communist paper of all, they've got it in print that Staus Kahn was set up because, number one, he has said that the world should not peg its monetary system to the U.S. dollar, that the other currencies are better or stronger than the U.S. dollar. Number two, some of his policies toward the emerging countries, emerging economies. And then his political ambitions to run for president of France. I think the last Jewish, I guess he's Jewish, I should have checked, didn't. Jewish heritage, I guess, is proper because a lot of these guys don't practice. Some of them don't even, a few of them don't even get circumcised. Political ambitions become, the last premier of France who was Jewish, or Jewish heritage, was Pierre Mendes France during the 60s. He was a guy who couldn't end the Vietnam War or the Algerian War. And I think he was succeeded. There was a time when France had about 16 governments. And de Gaulle finally came in and kicked butt. Until 1968, when the students' riots in May of 68, which was a very interesting period in world history, there were riots in Paris and in France, and de Gaulle said, "I've saved France twice. I retire. I resign." And he didn't. He went to Ireland to visit his ancestral home because the de Gaulle family was part of the what is called the Wild Geese. These were Irish who fled to France and the continent after the defeat of the Bonnie Prince Charlie and those people. And there's a famous piece of music called "The Wild Geese." It's kind of interesting because St. Patrick supposedly was a Frenchman who came from Brittany to Christianize the Irish barbarians and make them wear clothes. Excuse me. Now, getting back to Strauss Kahn, it seems that if this conviction, he's struck in New York, if he's tried and convicted, then that's the end of his political career. Of course, France is always pulling surprises politically, so we don't know what's going to happen. They have a very strong right wing still in France. These are unrepented supporters of Pétain and Vichy government, or descendants of supporters, and they still support that. The movie out about that period called The Secret Army, which I talked about it recently. And it's about a little-known episode in World War II French history where these immigrants to France, Armenians, Poles, Russians, opposed the Nazis, and they started an underground guerrilla action against the Vichy and the Norman, Nazi army occupiers, and started assassinating these people. Eventually, they were betrayed, rounded up, tortured, horribly tortured, and then given a show trial and were to be executed at 3 o'clock the same day. So it's called The Secret Army. I highly recommend that film. And so Friday will be the best of the week. We're going to, since there's a big emphasis on gay agendas, crotch politics, we're going to offer some interesting insights. We'll get into the whole circumcision, foreskin, restoral thing agenda of the some of the more radical gays. Little known fact of history is that there were great military leaders who happened to be gay in their private life. They didn't politicize like these people today, like Bradley Manning. He's not a great military leader. But for instance, in World War One, you had Lord Kitchener. In our own American Revolution, we had Baron von Steuben, or Baron von Steuben. So there were these people who were gay, and they performed their duties, kept their mouth shut, their sleeves down, and their zippers up, or their breeches up and on and up. So we'll get into that, and then we'll get into why people and governments are leery and suspicious of people, especially in the security field, who are homosexual. And we'll get into the Burgess and McLean cases, the Captain Vassal case, the Rosenberg case. It's quite interesting, these people who put their sexual preference ahead of, if they had it at all, their patriotism. So, we just put up, we're doing our series on domestic terrorism that targeted San Francisco police. We've had more cases of terrorism since 1969 here in San Francisco in the California Bay Area and Northern California Bay Area than I think in any other part of the United, continental United States. And today we just put up one on Richard Bedisco, whose family, his family pedigree descends from Count de Bedisco, who was one of the diplomats who negotiated the Alaska Purchase in the United States in 1867. The Bedisco family, they're big in real estate. They've been in law enforcement and government since that time. And his father was a deputy assistant local district attorney. And Bedisco was a politician as well as a policeman. He's retired. And then his son is carried on the tradition. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. And we've got new videos up there. There'll be a lot more. We're getting new software. So we'll end today, and then on Friday we'll do our one-hour show with the best of, including the best of the week, and also updating you on any stories. And so we'll end with what's relevant: yeah, politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
You guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Info.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Set up.
Little trade, good as gold.
Okay.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael when you think of it. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck, it's politics, seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
Paul Brazola, thank you for listening, and tune in Friday at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Good night.